This week's episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by Expedition Unknown. Do you know that there's proof that Robin Hood might have been a real person using underground passageways under England to rob the rich? Or that gold coins discovered on the beaches of Florida might be connected to a Spanish treasure fleet that sank in 1715? On the Expedition Unknown podcast from Discovery, Josh Gates travels the world to investigate history's greatest unsolved mysteries. He'll take you through Russia and Germany looking for stolen objects of great value pillaged by Nazis during World War II, to Nepal to uncover mysterious caves high up the mountains, or to Peru to uncover the meaning behind giant geoglyphs drawn into the earth hundreds of years ago. I met Josh and interviewed him on This Week in Travel. Now it's been 12 years ago. Can't believe it's been that long, but that tells you how long he has been out there looking for stories like he's sharing on the Expedition Unknown podcast. Travel the globe with Josh Gates as he investigates some of humanity's greatest feats and most iconic legends. Listen to Expedition Unknown where you get your podcasts. And thanks to Expedition Unknown for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more. Amateur Traveler, episode 876. Today, Amateur Traveler talks about yachts and mansions, beaches and ferries, farmers markets, and vineyards as we go to Long Island in the state of New York. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about Long Island. I'd like to welcome to the show Vanessa Gordon from EastEndTasteMagazine.com, who's come to talk to us about Long Island in the state of New York. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris, so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And what is your connection with Long Island?
Sure. So I grew up on Long Island. I spent most of my childhood here before moving to Connecticut for 15 years. But I met my husband and out here, who's also from out here, and we started a family. And we've been out here, as you say, we'll learn more about this as we go along, but full time, if you will, as opposed to seasonally dividing our time between New York City and the Hamptons, if you will, but full time for the past 12 years.
Excellent. And I want to get it out of the way just... We only have to bring it up once because I can't believe the number of people ask me when I say Long Island. They think Long Island is pronounced by the locals as Long Island. I have never heard anybody say it that way. No, I don't know where that comes from.
No, I say Long Island.
That sounds like a local. Okay.
Yes, Long Island. Yes. And then I emphasize, like, when people always love to hear me say the word, I'll say the way that people use coffee. I can't even say it. I say coffee.
Coffee. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That sounds like Long Island. Yes. Excellent. And why should somebody go to Long Island?
Yes. You know what's funny? So Long Island, there truly is so much to do here. And there's so much perhaps to discover, even from living out here for many years, 30 plus years, whether part-time or full-time. There's truly so much to do, whether you're in Nassau or Suffolk County, the two counties that make up Long Island. But I've lived here, like in the Hamptons. I've living in currently in East Hampton, been here for over 30 years. And this New York region never ceases to amaze me. There's ocean beaches. We have bay beaches. We have beautiful nature preserves, bountiful farmers markets, endless amounts of summer events. And what's fascinating is after, I hate to bring it up, but the pandemic, but it's become an even more sought after destination. The housing market out here boomed very quickly in that year in 2020. And people are staying out here, especially on the east end of Long Island, full time, as opposed to going back to their New York City residences. So there's quite a lot to do and a lot more businesses opening up, and things are rapidly growing here.
Excellent. And I noticed that you think of Long Island as the way that someone would on Long Island. When we talk about Long Island, if we really talk about the island, there are more than just the two counties of Nassau and Suffolk, because there's also part of New York City, the boroughs of Queens and Brooklyn. We won't be talking about those because those are not Long Island from a New York point of view.
That's right.
What kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
Sure. So what's fascinating is it all depends really whatever you're into, whether you're into theater, if you're into nature, the outdoors, if you're into more cultural activities, historic activities, there is so much to do out here. People always ask me when the best time of year is to come to Long Island, or more particularly the Hamptons. I would always recommend September or October, up until about mid-October or so. That's when we still have most of the restaurants open. Things are still booming in terms of businesses being open. There's so many events. And when I say events, there's family events, there's cultural events every single weekend. Then another fun time to come is actually starting in a couple of weeks or right after Thanksgiving, when we have all the festive events and markets and such. We have beautiful Christmas markets out here. We have tree lightings and ceremonies and a lot of different historic events where they do, believe it or not, we have like caroling out here. It's really, it's fun. It's cute. And you get to learn all about the history of the region. And it's so beautiful. Each little village, if you will, in the Hamptons. So for instance, jumping specifically to the Hamptons, we have East Hampton and Southampton, and then there's little hamlets in that area.
And I'm going to pause you for just a second here to make sure that people have the right mental map here. So Long Island, left end, New York, the right end, the Hamptons. By the time you get to the end of the island, you're 100 miles out. By the time you get to the Hamptons, you're what, 80 miles out or something like that?
Yes, that's correct. So technically the big debate is, where does the Hamptons begin? Okay. It's the town of Southampton. Though it does encompass the village of West Hampton Beach, technically there's a big debate of whether or not that is the Hamptons. But I always like to say, when you pass what's called the Shinnecock Canal, which is right after a little town called Hampton Bays, so you pass that and there you go, there are the Hamptons. And then you see all the big mansions that line the ocean and, as they call, south of the highway, if you will, which just basically means you're closer to the ocean, because the highway divides between there's the bay to the north and the ocean to the south.
When you like the most, say the bay to the north, the Long Island, the east end of the island forks. There's a north and south fork, and the Hamptons are the south fork.
That is correct. Yes. So we have the north fork, south fork, and north fork is more of the bucolic area. You have a lot of farms. It's funny, is the north fork also has been booming for the past few years as well, but that's more of the low key country esque style. And then you have the seaside communities, Orient and Greenport there.
Got it. So you started us in the Hamptons. So we're going to jump right out to the end of the island. What are we going to do in the Hamptons?
Okay, so let's see. You may already be acquainted with the glitz and the glam and the posh lifestyle, if you will, of the summer season out here. Is it like how the films, the television shows portray the area? To a certain degree, yes, but of course that's very hyped up. So we're not necessarily going to focus on that per se, because there's a ton I could talk about there. But more specifically, the time that I would personally recommend that you visit the Hamptons, which is right after Labor Day, mid to late September. The weather, from my experience, has always been beautiful. And you don't get the crowds where you're looking for a parking space, except it gets to be too much. So this is, in my opinion, the most beautiful time. So what I recommend is, I'm going to take you all the way out to the easternmost point, which is Montauk.
Okay.
And of course, the biggest attraction there, if you will, is the Montauk Point Lighthouse. George Washington actually commissioned the building of the Montauk Point Lighthouse.
Okay.
And they actually just did a huge restoration project on it. They celebrated, there was a big concert there this past summer. So there's been a lot of talk about the lighthouse. What's cool too is the town decorates the lighthouse during the holiday season. And that's a really fun opportunity for families to come and see it, do a tour, and get a little bit of that festive fun in. And then what's cool now is, so starting in, let's see, I would say now early October is seal watching and hikes. So if you go to the beaches and the dunes near out from the Montauk, so the Montauk Point Lighthouse, excuse me, so you could see the seals. There are private seal walks and tours. Even more interesting is there's been a lot of whale sightings out here in Montauk. So there's been opportunities to go on different early morning excursions, usually starting around 8 a.m. or so, that last a few hours to go see the whales. And you could see whales even further west into West Hampton. So they also have tours there as well if you don't want to go so far east. Let's see. In Montauk, as far as where to stay, probably the most famous property is Gurney's Resort and Spa, the only oceanfront property in Montauk. And they have everything. They have a spa, they have restaurants on site, do a lot of weddings. There's a lot of events there, and it's open and bustling all throughout the year, which is neat. I personally recommend, there's a hotel called The Marum, and that's open seasonally, but they're open, I would say, through about the mid to late fall or thereabouts. Okay. Very family oriented. They do beach bonfires. They have a little s'mores station. And what's funny, they have an on-site restaurant there too, which is quite popular with locals and visitors alike. In fact, there are people that I know that live in East Hampton. I'm about 20, 25 minutes away. And they'll actually say, oh, we should go to The Marum to go have an early dinner and cocktails on the beach. So it's what's neat about some of these properties is there's a really nice mix of that local vibe and people who visit.
Okay. And when you say it's open seasonally, the season ends with Labor Day or it ends later than that?
Oh, yes. Great question. There are a few different divides with the season. So Labor Day, it depends upon the business, but after the pandemic, most businesses now are staying open through Columbus Day weekend.
Okay.
Or, which is early to mid-October. But interestingly, I'm noticing businesses in general are trying to stay open. Generally, I would say through Halloween or the first week of November, and then they start to close.
Okay.
And then they'll open again, usually the first to second week of April.
Got it. Cool. So we're going out the lighthouse. What are we doing next?
Sure. The village of Montauk is very walkable. So there's lots of different opportunities to see a lot of the different local businesses. You have cool, so like surf shops, candy stores. You go down towards the bay, you have Gossman's Dock and Waterfront. And if you park your car there, there's lots of different shops, great local spot to find little trinkets and stuff to bring home. And what I mean by that are placemats, place settings, and cloth napkins, soaps, perfumes, and such. So it's very actually quite rare to find those gaudy trinkets and souvenirs, if you will. That's the fun thing here. And then if you're looking for dining options over near Gossman's, I recommend Inlet Seafood. Another restaurant that I recommend in Montauk that's phenomenal, that's very popular with locals and visitors alike, is Harvest on Fort Pond. For families, I recommend Navy Beach, which is open for lunch and dinner. And what's nice is you could sit right on the beach there, and it's off the beaten path a little bit. I would say about 5 to 7 minutes away from the center of the village of Montauk. And that's fun too. That's open seasonally. And again, what I mean seasonally is until about mid-October or so. And that restaurant opens in early May or thereabouts. And they offer, again, indoor-outdoor seating. What's cool out here too is a lot of the restaurants, they really focus heavily on local seasonal fare, if you will.
Okay. And I see that this is a popular spot for sunsets, which seems odd to me on the East Coast. But of course, you're far enough out that you can look back over the water.
Yeah. So speaking of sunsets, there are so many places to view the sunsets throughout the East End, or the Hamptons in particular. As we start to move further west, I would like you to introduce you to Sag Harbor. Sag Harbor is my favorite village in the Hamptons. Sag Harbor is quite cool because it's not only popular, especially in the summer, but it's a happening place year round. And I'm noticing that Sag Harbor in general is the favorite spot or place to be. In my opinion, Sag Harbor has the best restaurants, more quiet, family-friendly beaches. Okay. In Sag Harbor, for instance, you have Long Beach. And my personal favorite is Havens Beach. And a quick tip in regards to visiting the beaches, unless you either could get a seasonal pass, which is good Memorial Day to Labor Day, and that costs quite a bit of money. You're looking easily, almost say upwards of $500+. But if you want to go to Havens Beach in Sag Harbor, what you could do is just park. There's the road right there off Bay Street, and you just walk. It's not even a 5-minute walk to the beach. And that's what I always recommend that people do. You can't do that with Long Beach, but you could do that again with Havens Beach in Sag Harbor. And you don't have to worry about parking, because otherwise you're looking at, I believe it's about $30 for the day.
Got it. Okay.
And that's a great spot for Havens Beach. It's great, as is Long Beach for paddleboarding. Long Beach, you'll see people kiteboarding early in the morning. There's sailing nearby at Breakwater Yacht Club where people take sailing lessons. So there's a lot of different opportunities there as far as water sports. They have jet skiing, parasailing. So
it's a lot of fun. One of the reasons I gather that it's good for paddleboarding is we're not on the Atlantic. We're on that inner bay between the North and South Fork. So it's going to be more sheltered.
Correct. Yes.
Got it.
Yes, that's always a lot of fun. And what's cool too, in Sag Harbor, you get to see all of the beautiful yachts. I can't tell you, it never gets old for me. In the morning, you see the dock handlers, if you will. They're cleaning and doing what they have to do to get ready for the day before they go off on the water. And there's some famous boats that come year after year. One is called the Intuition, which is this stunning yacht that I guess only you'll see perhaps out here unless you're, I don't know, in Monaco, for instance. But the boats are quite a sight. So now we're going to move to Shelter Island. Shelter Island is a small island in between the North Fork and the South Fork. Mm-hmm. And it's easily accessible by two separate ferries. You'll take the South Ferry from a hamlet called North Haven, which is about a 5-minute drive from Sag Harbor. And the ferry ride is about 7 or so minutes. And then you could also reach Shelter Island from the North Fork. And that ferry is the North Ferry. And you take that from Greenport. My recommendation is if you can walk on or take your bicycle on. Otherwise, to take a car, it's about $20 or so, and that's round trip. And what's cool on Shelter Island, it's actually the only town that has no traffic lights, and there are a number of great places to visit. There's cute little shops. If you like golf, they have several different golf courses there. They have Ram's Head Inn, which is a great hotel to stay at, but there's also lots of different events and activities that they have. They have an Oktoberfest in the fall. They have masquerade parties throughout the year, murder mystery dinners. It's a lot of fun. It's a very historic property. I guess the biggest thing there now is they have pickleball year-round.
Okay.
I know. And so that's a lot of fun. That's off a little ways. And then just down the road from there, you have the Mashomeck Preserve, and it's one of the largest coastal nature reserves on Long Island, and that's a fun spot to hike and go see the local wildlife. On Shelter Island too, I would say the biggest hotspot for like live music and parties throughout the season into mid-September or so is Sunset Beach, and that's also another great spot to see sunsets.
Got it.
So from Shelter Island, we're going to pop back over to the Hamptons, and speaking specifically about going back to where there'd be phenomenal sunsets, in Sag Harbor, there's a restaurant called The Beacon, and that's probably one of the most popular spots, again, very sought after to see the sunset. They have beautiful outdoor seating with incredible views of Sag Harbor Marina, and right opposite there is a hotel called Barron's Cove, where once again, you get the phenomenal sunsets. When people are visiting the Hamptons, one of the biggest draws are the wineries and vineyards. The most popular vineyard is Wolfer Estate. They have their wine stand and the vineyard itself. Year-round, they have live music. They have wine dinners, wine release parties, and such. But if for true, I would say, wine connoisseurs, I recommend Channing Daughters, which they like to call themselves the wine nerds of the East End. So they're quite serious about their wine there. And they have excellent release parties. They're not on Montauk Highway. They're off towards, we call it the back roads of the Hamptons. And they're off of a road called Scuttle Hole.
And stop me if I'm wrong here, but I don't remember hearing a lot about wineries. So I married a woman from Long Island, so I've been going there for 42 years or something like that. And I don't remember when we first got together, a lot of people talking about wineries. Are they old and they've been there all the time, but just hearing about them now or?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. So what's interesting is I would say within the last 10 years, they've started to gain a bit more traction. And okay. I think why specifically is a lot of these wineries are now offering family-friendly activities. They have food trucks. There's a lot more to do than just try wine. They now have non-alcoholic wines and ciders, a lot of different musical events, etc., throughout the year. And Wolfer, I would say that they're phenomenal. That's considered, in my opinion, a very touristy place. So I always recommend, again, if people are really serious about wine, I recommend Channing Daughters. The other one is Duck Walk Vineyards. Duck Walk is also located on the North Fork, so they have two separate vineyards, and they're great too. But on the North Fork is really the most popular spot to go for wineries on Long Island. And on the North Fork, there are currently just over 40 wineries and over, I think it's like 3,000 acres of planted vineyards.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the ones I visited most recently, which I was quite impressed with, is Meadowlark Vineyard. And they're quite small. They're a sister property to the well-known or beloved Macari Vineyards, which is probably one of, if not the most popular option on the North Fork. And they're excellent. So you really can't go wrong with wine on the North Fork. Another really great one is Raphael Winery. And there's so many new ones that are popping up every year, I should say. People are coming in and purchasing new plots of land and creating their own private vineyards and wineries.
Cool. What else are we doing?
In addition to wineries, a lot of times they'll hire a bus or a private car company. But afterwards, people love to pair that experience with some of our several different museums and theaters across the east end of Long Island. Some of the most popular museums are the Parish Art Museum in Southampton or Guildhall in East Hampton. And these are quite fascinating as they have different rotating works of art. You'll see a lot of local artists, like the late Jackson Pollock. We'll have works by Willem de Kooning. We have a beautiful sculpture garden in East Hampton called Longhouse Reserve. It's stunning. People could walk around, and they have different exhibitions throughout the year. They have a gala event each July, and it's a very family-friendly destination there. As far as theaters go, Guildhall is also a theater. There's Bay Street Theater, and we have very well-known acts who perform at these theaters. Guildhall, in particular, they have different performances for everyone. So they have Kid Fest, outdoor games and events. And then sometimes people will pair that experience with going to the library across the way. They have a large event every August called Authors Night. A lot of well-known authors will gather around underneath a tent they put up, and they'll pair that with a children's fair, book fair experience the next day. And these are people come from all over just to go to these. We've had everyone from, my goodness, Katie Couric, Bill Clinton, etc., doing book signings. So it's quite fun. Speaking of celebrities, there's quite a number of them out here, especially in the fall.
Really? I would have thought summer, but...
Yeah, summer too, yeah. But they know how to hide quite well or be a little less noticeable. Because a lot of them, they're out on a yacht or boat, or they're at a private home or a private event, if you will. But in the fall, there's a lot less of that, if you will. So you'll see them out and about the bookstores and the different restaurants, just walking down and through the villages and such.
This episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by ButcherBox. The best meals start with the best ingredients, and ButcherBox has high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. They have 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. If you're looking for inspiration what to do with a fine cut of meat, they provide recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks. I think it's time for me personally to up my game on what I can do with a good steak. But email me and I'll send you my port wine reduction and blue cheese sauce recipe that is to die for. That'll go well with your first order. ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/traveler, and use code traveler to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/traveler and code traveler. And thanks to ButcherBox for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
That's always interesting to see them out and about. We're going to move further west now. Interestingly, the town of Riverhead. Now, Riverhead is the gateway, if you will, to the North Fork or the South Fork. And interestingly, Riverhead gained interest recently. It was featured in Forbes, one of the 50 must-visit locations in America, which, interestingly, a lot of local people, if you will, were quite stunned by that decision. because Riverhead perhaps is what it is. But I think when you pull it all apart, is Riverhead really has really renewed themselves, if you will. Downtown Riverhead, though, has maintained its historic charm. There's a lot of new businesses that opened up. There's several new coffee shops, a cute little bookstore that just opened. But you also have the smaller or well-established and historic restaurants, like we have the Star Confectionery, which is a cash-only soda fountain that's open for breakfast and lunch. That's quite popular for locals. And then we have places that are just within walking distance. There's the Long Island Aquarium, which is very popular year-round. Riverhead is cute. It's fun. We have, one thing that just opened up or reopened, if you will, in Riverhead is the East End Food Market, which, if for people that really want to discover the local food purveyors, I highly recommend going to. It's an indoor farmer's market, and you could discover, my goodness, places like the local farms, like Sangley Farms is very popular. They have a stand there. And local woodworking, art crafts. Mm-hmm. It's another great place to just do a quick one-stop shop for the wineries. There's a North Fork Chocolate Company. It has a little stand there. So it's a really nice place to get a taste, if you will, of the North Fork and the South Fork too, without having to jump around to all the different businesses, because that could be quite a lot. But speaking of different food places, Briarmere Farms in Riverhead is quite popular to get like local pies. And my personal recommendation or tip, if you will, is ask them about their day-old pies. They're half the price, and honestly, they taste just as great. And you save a little bit. Yeah. So that's my little tip there. And then, so now we're going to move further west. So coming out of the Hamptons and the North Fork for a moment, there's the town of Brookhaven, which I recommend, since the Hamptons and the North Fork too could become quite expensive, I recommend actually, if you don't want to stay necessarily in Riverhead and you want more of an access to other parts of Long Island, so say if you want to visit Fire Island or the Great South Bay or the South Shore, I recommend staying in Brookhaven right off of Montauk Highway. There's some great options for hotels there that are nowhere near as expensive. You're talking, if you want to stay in the Hamptons for the summer or even into September, easily $1,000 or more a night.
And you say Fire Island, so you're talking about a barrier island in the south, in the middle of Long Island.
That's correct. Yeah, it's a very long strip of an island. Yep. Yes, and the only way to get there is by, there's a few different ferries I can go there, passenger ferries, and spend quite a little bit of time since I've been to Fire Island specifically, but to the Great South Bay, you have towns like Patchogue. Patchogue is quite an up-and-coming young people's town, if you will. There's the Patchogue Theater that has a number of great events. They have a really hip, fun local scene, especially if people are looking for great nightlife. Patchogue is a really great place to go.
All right.
And Fire Island specifically is quite popular with the LGBTQ crowd.
Oh, okay. Did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So that's a great spot to check out. People should be interested in that. And then just for historical purposes, is Fire Island Lighthouse is quite beautiful and has a bit of history there. So that's always fun. It's nice, like a little day trip. And then within the Great South Bay, one of my favorite towns there is a town called Bellport, which is really pretty.
Great about South Bay. So that's the area north of Fire Island, inside the Barrier Island. So, again, another calm water place.
Yes, exactly. It's on the main area of Long Island. In terms of time or distance, Bellport to Southampton takes about 35-minute drive or so.
Okay.
And that's another nice, lovely area to visit and walk around. One of the hotels that I recommend staying at is Bellport Inn, which is fairly new. And it's, you know, really lovely and cozy. Great spot to check out there. And there's a number of great, cute little spots to check out. There's a really cute apothecary there. There's some shops. One's called Tola, T-O-L-A. Really cute spot for great local products and such. And then there's a place called Brewport Coffee House, which has great food and coffee.
Got it. I'm having trouble keeping up with you. Oh, I'll get all these things in the show notes, I swear, but it may take me two passes.
Oh, no, of course. I'm just thinking there's so much to do.
In terms of things to do, we've talked about going to wineries. We've talked about beaches. What other activities would you do in this more central part of Long Island?
Let's see. In the more central, is it okay if I touch upon the Gold Coast, which is fairly close
by?
Sure,
which is Australia. Sure.
Yeah.
Not that Gold Coast. Okay. I don't know where the Gold Coast is.
Sure. Let's see. So now we'd move half hour west of the Great South Bay or Patchogue.
Okay.
And so the Gold Coast is on the north shore of Long Island, but west, close to towns like Oyster Bay, Glen Cove. And that was where all the historic mansions are. Castle.
Sagamore Hill, for instance, is the one that I've been to there. Yep. Which is Teddy Roosevelt's historic home.
That is right. Yeah, that's a beautiful spot, a really great place for a day trip. Walking around the grounds there is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite mansion is Old Westbury Gardens. And what's really cool is during the holiday season, they do a stunning light show where they project different scenes on the mansion itself. So people get to see that. I think it rotates every 10 minutes and it's at night. So that's a lovely spot. They have little, like, carnival games and activities. And it's just so beautiful to walk around the grounds in the mansion at night. And even during the daytime to go actually step inside Old Westbury Gardens. It's just one of the most stunning properties. Oh, Hecla Castle is quite beautiful as well. That's close to Huntington on Long Island.
Okay.
And they do a lot of events there, very popular for weddings and such. But I recommend just going for the day. You need an advanced reservation to do a tour of the grounds.
And this looks like it could be next door to Fontainebleau in the Loire Valley. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. What's interesting, too, about Hecla Castle is that it was featured in Taylor Swift's music, one of her music videos.
Okay.
So she does a little... was all filmed there. I'm trying to think of what the song was called. Blank Space.
Okay.
So Taylor Swift's Blank Space music video. You'll get to see a nice little inside view of Hecla Castle.
Huh. All right. Built for Otto Kahn, sometimes referred to as the King of New York. I've never even heard of him. Okay.
And what's cool, the Gold Coast Mansions are just doing a tour of the mansions itself. I would say... to focus just specifically on visiting the Gold Coast Mansions, I would say to divide it between two separate days. And usually you spend no more than, I'd say 2 hours at each mansion. Other mansions to note that are really pretty are the mansion at Glen Cove, which is also a hotel, Hempstead House in Sands Point. And that one was built in 1912, and it was used as the Guggenheim summer home.
I've heard of them.
Yes, I'll tell you that each place, they're just absolutely stunning. Another one is the Milneck Manor House in Milneck, and that one is located near Beaver Lake and North Shore Wildlife Sanctuary, and it was originally built in 1923. The other one I recommend is the Vanderbilt Museum and Planetarium in Centerport. And that's about a 20 or so minute drive from New York City. So that, again, the Vanderbilt Museum might be a nice day trip, if you will, from New York, from Manhattan and such. So that one was built in 1922. And there's the museum and there's the planetarium on site. And then there's a place called Mill Pond House where people could grab something to eat if they'd like. But speaking of getting to Long Island, it's actually easier than ever to get there. There's direct trains now from not only Penn Station, but Grand Central.
Okay.
And they run about every half hour or so.
Got it. I have taken that train recently. Not that far out, though.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You're not recommending the experience of driving the Long Island Expressway?
No. It's fine. It's the one thing that...
That was the appropriate and honest answer. Yes. Okay.
I truly don't recommend it. For instance, there are so many different ways to come out to Long Island. I recommend if anyone could avoid the Long Island Expressway, please take advantage of that opportunity.
My wife learned to drive on Long Island. And when we moved to California, I had to continually at first say signal before you go over, they will let you over versus on Long Island, where that's especially closer to the city in Nassau County, that is considered a sign of weakness and an opportunity to close up that gap so the person does not come over. So it's a different style of driving.
Yes. No, definitely. They're quite aggressive, especially out in the my goodness, they're, no fun.
Excellent. But, anything else we want to add to this itinerary?
Speaking of farmers markets, so the farmers markets run typically in season. And when I say in season, we're talking now until about mid to late September, if you will. But my personal favorite farmers market is the Sag Harbor Farmers Market. And that's located on Bay Street. And that farmers market is held every Saturday from about 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you'll get a taste of the local cheese shop, which is called Meacock's. You'll get the local seafood shop. Again, some of the wineries showcase there. You'll try the different local breads, Carissa's. Carissa's also has a shop right across from the Sag Harbor Farmers Market. And they're one of the most popular places to grab coffee sandwiches. They have beautifully decorated or adorned cakes, which are great to pick up any time of year, especially during the holiday season. They do these beautiful Yule logs. And then the farmers markets are also a great spot to get. There's a local empanada stand that I really like, and local greens and locally grown mushrooms, too. Quite popular.
Okay.
And then I took notes on the question of what was the biggest surprise about here. So one thing to note, too, is if you watch like local news or if you Google town names on Long Island, there's a fun little joke of having people who are not from here try to pronounce some of the local hamlet or town names. Some examples are Hopog, Spionk, Napig, Copeg. So when people see them written out, it's quite funny to hear how people try to pronounce them. So most of the time people will not pronounce them correctly because they're challenging. Like places, another one's like Mineola, Ronkonkoma is another one. So it's always very interesting to hear people try to pronounce them. So if you ever want to be one step ahead, make sure you look up the exact pronunciation or just simply Google or YouTube the name and have a chance to have someone speak it, say it out loud before you get asked that question.
Massapequa.
Yeah, Massapequa is another one. Yep.
Got some good Indian names in there.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
As we start to wrap this up, you have friends over to Long Island and you take them someplace and they say, I never would have thought you have this on Long Island. Where are you?
Let's see. Gosh, we have everything from a skydiving center, which I think people are quite stunned about. That's outside of Yaphank, if I'm not mistaken. So people are a little bit surprised about that. I want to find something a little bit more intriguing, if you will. Oh, specifically speaking about Montauk, there have been a number of stories of like extraterrestrial sightings in Montauk. There's a lot of different allure and mystery, if you will, behind there. But more specifically, there's a place called Camp Hero, and this is the site of Montauk's very real covert military installation. And it was known since the 1940s as Fort Hero, or it was also an Air Force base or Montauk Air Force Base. And it served as a strategic coastal defensive site to thwart potential attacks or invasions from New York City. And again, this was during World War II. It was intentionally disguised actually as a fishing village to conceal fortifications from German U-boats and enemy ships.
Okay.
And then it was finally opened to the public in 2002. But many of the parts of the compound still remain closed to the public to this day. So there's a lot of mystery and allure shrouded in Camp Hero, among other places. We have another, if people are interested in ghost stories and such, there's Lake Ronkonkoma, which has been featured on a show on Discovery America. And there's supposedly there's a ghost that haunts that lake that people should not swim during certain times of the year. I think it's around July. There's one day that people should not go in the water.
So speaking of times of year, for your favorite day of the year to be in the Hamptons.
Okay. I would say this year specifically was September 9th. The day was so warm. It was beautiful out. It was the perfect beach day. And it was literally that perfect Hampton summer day, but without the crowds.
Those pesky tourists.
Those pesky tourists, exactly. So
the ones were encouraging to go there in this show.
Yeah, it was that, everything that you would experience in the summer, but without having to fight for that perfect parking space.
Okay. Anything else we want to cover before we get to some of my wrap-up questions?
Sure. The Hamptons perhaps is shrouded in this opulent, posh, rich, famous destination. There's so much more to the region that I hope as people start to plan their trip to the Hamptons and to Long Island in general, that they see so much more of what the region has to offer and the beauty and the bounty of it all.
Excellent. You're standing in the prettiest spot in all of Long Island. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
Oh, gosh. I would definitely say looking out towards Shelter Island from North Haven is so beautiful. And being on that ferry, especially the South Ferry, going towards Shelter Island, I always like to say in the summer season, so we're talking about like late August or so, or early September, just before 7 p.m., and that's when the sun starts to come down. There's a beautiful cascading view of the sunset. It's stunning. That's definitely my favorite
spot
to be.
And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Long Island.
Oh, gosh. I always love when people say, oh, especially that live all the way on the East End like I do, they sigh and they go, oh, I have to go up Island today. Or they have to go. That means to just go past the Shinnecock Canal and go into the real world, if you will. It's always so funny. Because I'll be on the phone, I'll say, oh, I have to go up Island. Run errands, not up Island, but it goes west to east. What are you talking about? Up Island. So that's a phrase that we always say that people can never figure out why we say it.
It's consistent with going down east as you go up the coast of the eastern United States around that area. But yeah, it's a little inconsistent.
Yes, yeah, so that's always quite funny.
And you didn't get quite this far in. I have to do a nod of the head to Jones Beach Island, Jones Beach State Park,
yes,
as a nice beach built in the, I want to say the 30s, part of the Robert Moses Park system that, yes, was built there. I just got there for the first time this fall, but it's where my wife spent once or twice a week in junior high, I think, going out to Jones Beach. And it is a lovely beach.
Yes, lovely area. Absolutely.
Much closer to the city than what we've been talking about, though.
Yes, definitely. That's definitely a great spot to visit. And of course, Jones Beach, as far as concerts go, that's a big deal. We try to get there maybe once a year if we can.
Excellent. If you have to summarize Long Island in just three words, what three words are you going to use?
Maritime is a word that comes to mind.
Okay. And if you wanted to connect with Long Island's maritime history, is there a particular place you would go?
Yes, I would strongly recommend Sag Harbor.
Okay, got it.
Because you have the Sag Harbor Historical Museum there to check out and really just to see firsthand the layout. Museum's right there and you just walk right down and you're right in the marina. And you can see there's a lot of different plaques, especially where the windmill is on Bay Street. And there's a lot of historical information there that people could read about. So the three words to describe Long Island, I would say these three words come to mind: maritime, mansion, and coastal.
Excellent.
I instantly think of Long Island.
Our guest again has been Vanessa Gordon from EastEndTasteMagazine.com. And Vanessa, if we want to send people to your best post on Long Island, where are we going to send them to?
Because it's some of my favorite things to do on Long Island, I recommend our post on the Long Island Gold Coast Mansions. It gives you a nice little overview and taste of what they're like. And
I will put a link to that in the show notes so people can check that out. Vanessa, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Long Island.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Thanks go out to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in learning more or becoming a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. Or if you're interested in getting some Amateur Traveler swag for someone for Christmas, someone who you know is a fan of Amateur Traveler, you can go to amateurtraveler.com/store and go to the Etsy store. If you have suggestions for what should be on the Amateur Traveler store, I am all ears. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.